What's going on, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hey, everybody.
And this week, we're talking about representation and why it matters. But before we get into that, just want to talk a little bit about this week and what's been going on. If you are a gamer and you were looking to get the Xbox system, either the Series X or the Series S, hopefully you were able to pre-order it. It was kind of crazy. I will say, though, it was better than Sony. Microsoft announced prior to opening up the floodgates to everyone that you'll be able to reserve your console this past Tuesday. So we're recording today, so it already passed. And yeah, it was at, I want to say, 11 a.m. Eastern. And as soon as it turned 11 a.m., floodgates open. And immediately, Best Buy tripped out the gate. Yeah. For whatever reason, I don't think Best Buy got the memo, or maybe their site went down. I don't know. But when you went there to, because I had multiple tabs open, and I had Microsoft Store open, GameStop, Target, and Best Buy, and I was like, all right, one of these joints, I'm gonna get it from one of these. And Target, like, I had it in the cart, and I went to click, okay, I have it in the cart. Let me go ahead and click, and it was like, the item, what did it say? Oh, it said, so I had it in the cart, and like, it was like, you know, click on the cart to go to checkout. And I hit checkout, and it was like, psych, I lied. You actually don't have anything in the cart. And I was like, huh? So I went back, and I went to click on the Xbox again, and it said, you can't do it again because you already have one. Because they don't want people buying too many, you know, they don't want a bunch of people buying it and then trying to sell it back. So it was, you can only have one in your cart at a time. You could come back and buy it again, but you can only have one in your cart at a time. And so I was I got it. Went ahead and clicked it again, and it was like, no, you have nothing in your cart. So I was like, all right, Target's being funny. I guess the traffic is blowing them up. GameStop, GameStop was like, as soon as I went to GameStop, they were like, you're in a queue. You're waiting in line for your Xbox. Once you're, don't refresh the page or whatever, just wait. Come to find out that that was a lie. If you look at the source code, they were basically trying to limit people from constantly refreshing the site to channel people through. And this was proven because people who, they opened two tabs and, you know, they were in line for one, they opened another one, and in that one, they went straight through and they were to get their Xbox. So apparently you weren't in line, essentially. It was just showing that so you can chill. And what it did was, it was like a buffer for everyone to kind of calm down. Because if you're thinking you're in line, you're not going to touch anything. And so that way the site doesn't, you know, crash or whatever. So yeah, that was hilarious. Best Buy, though, they didn't, it was like coming soon. And people were like, wait, what? Like, no, what? We're supposed to be able to pre-order right now. And so, like, you know, refreshing. At certain points, you couldn't even see the Xbox. Like, it wasn't there at all. It was like, Xbox? What's an Xbox? We don't know what you're talking about. And people, it just wasn't working. It didn't go up until, like, an hour later. It was bananas. Luckily, the Microsoft store was working. It did take a little while to actually check out. But once I had it in my cart, it didn't go away, which was dope. So I was able to pre-order my Xbox Series X through the Microsoft Store. I do know that Best Buy is supposed to be getting, well, because they didn't sell out right away. They're supposed to be getting more, and there's going to be more before November. So definitely keep checking if that's what you want to do. I would not recommend going to eBay unless you just have to have it. But I wouldn't pay $800 for this system. Just wait.
Yeah,
it's okay to wait. But I just thought it was comical. It was better than Sony. Because Sony was like, you know, it was so many mixed messages that people were just all over the place. So it was better than that. But it was a little, you know, it was a little tricky. And, you know, some people kind of missed out, unfortunately, because of that. But I got mine. So, you know, that's the good news.
Congratulations.
Oh, man. It was, you know what? Because we weren't always poor. There was times where, like, my dad was in the military, so there was a moment in time where we were kind of like above the medium gap, and then there were times where, like, when he left the military, that we were kind of below, and then we kind of went up and down to where I am now. And so I have never really gotten a console at launch. I got the Switch at launch, which was great. And I got the Xbox 360. I got that the week of a friend of mine had bought it and he was trying to flip a few of them and they weren't
Okay.
selling, so he sold it to me. Which was dope. But I never, even though I worked at GameStop during a period when I was in college, I had never bought a console at launch because I just didn't have the money, especially in college. And so I was like, you know what? The Switch was cool, but I really want to be a part of this new wave of, getting consoles at launch and all this other stuff. And so I was like, I really want to get one. And like the sense of anxiety, like moments before the pre-orders went up, what was like, I don't know if I want to do this again. Like
It's not worth it.
it just didn't feel good. I was like, I just want to buy something. I don't want to. And that's one reason I stay away from eBay. Like, I don't like the idea that someone can outbid me like right after. A real auction is like, you can see each other. It's like, hey, look, you raise that flag, that card one more time, fam. But like it, with eBay, and then there was rumors of like people using bots to kind of like get in, ahead of people and all this other stuff. And like I didn't want to deal with all that. I really go stand in line if that's the case. So that's I don't know if I'm doing this again. But it was cool. It was cool to kind of be a part of that excitement on the other side. And hopefully, like if everything goes through and I'm able to get the console this November, that would be great too. I'll be able to talk with everyone and kind of it's part of this like like if you're watching your favorite show and you go on Twitter and everybody's talking about it, you're part of the conversation. It's like I kind of want to do that for once.
You
Beyond
want to
that,
be, yeah.
beyond that, it's not needed, but I was like, yeah, I kind of want to do this.
Yeah, I can understand that. I've been there before. I've never really, and I mean, I've been where you are emotionally, where like, yeah, I really want to do this. I want to be part of that. I've never been there financially, so it's never happened.
And you don't want to laugh, but I feel you. Like I was like, just know it's like, you know what? I'm gonna get it next year. I'm gonna get it whenever. Like I was talking to someone. They're like, yo, I got both consoles. I'm like, yo, he got money. I don't got money like that. I mean, I could do that, but it's like I have kids. I have to think about Christmas coming up. My daughter's birthday coming up in November. It's like, nah, fam, I can't do that. You know what I'm saying? So, but like. Shout out, if more props to you if you could buy everything whenever it launches. I can't do that. You know what I'm saying? So I'll just stop by your house and we'll play then. I'll bring the extra controller. How's that?
And be like, yeah, I bought my own controller because I like to throw them. So
So yeah. Have you seen any dope anime or shows as of late?
No, I'm so lame. Honestly, I haven't, and I mean, I guess maybe a couple weeks ago, what's it called? Started back up again. Sword Art Online started again with the Alicization. And mind you, I actually like the Alicization, but I just felt like the continuation of the season was just, it was almost pointless. And mind you, I only watched the first like three episodes, but it was just a fail to me. It was a fail. Like you really, 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 I feel like they just ruined everything that they worked for to make Alicization interesting. It was just like a bunch of fan service. And I'm like, why though? I just didn't understand. There was just a bunch of unnecessary events that happened and like nothing really happened. So it was boring and irritating. So on the anime side, I haven't really watched much. I did watch whatever stupid Berserk was on TV, like whatever was in Hulu or Netflix or whatever, wherever the Berserk is. I don't know what I watched. I really do not know what I watched. It's not really what I thought I was going to be watching.
Was it like a different version of Berserk?
It's not a different version. It's supposed to be like a continuation of what happens at the end of obviously original Berserk. It's supposed to be like something that's in between, like, after Guts ends up escaping with Casca, after, the whole thing happened with Griffith turning into whatever he turned into. And, it's supposed to be that, but it doesn't make a lot, it's not that it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's just lot of activity, like a lot of killing of demons and just not like the story doesn't end, and I kind of wasted like a bunch of it's like 20 something episode or something, and I just spent all this time watching this thinking that I was going to get some more story, and it was almost like watching 200 episodes of filler of Naruto.
Okay.
Like there was a lot of fighting, there was a lot of death, there were some things that occurred, but it didn't solve anything. It
Gotcha.
didn't solve anything. It didn't give you any answers to anything that you got from the first season of, like, the main season of Berserk. It didn't give you anything. Like, you want to know why Griffith did all of these things. Why would he sacrifice his friends, his comrades, the woman that he, actually is supposed to love? Like, why would all of these things happen? You don't get those answers. You really don't. And you kind of don't know what you're watching. And it's a waste of your time. So don't do that.
That
So
reminds
there's
me.
that.
Oh,
And then,
goodness.
yeah, there's that. And then I've only, because I've been working so much, I've only caught up with like Married at First Sight, because that's extremely important. Everybody should be spending time watching these train wreck reality shows. Okay, I'm not telling you to watch Real Housewives. I'm not telling you to watch those Kardashian-hoes. I am telling you to watch real train wreck reality TV like Married at First Sight and 90 Day Fiancé. Those are important. You want to know why they're important? They show you how other people in this country live. Okay? You need to know what other people are doing, and they're doing that.
Goodness.
They're getting Married at First Sight, or they're getting 90 Day Fiancés. And it's trash, and it's so good because it may make your life feel. Actually, okay, I could say it may make your life feel better, but maybe not, because some of those people on those shows are really triggering.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Seriously.
Need you might want to screen it, have someone look at it, look at it for you, and then let you know. But there's a lot of triggering stuff just everywhere
Yeah.
nowadays, especially with like recent announcements. I'm not gonna go get into it because it's a big thing. But like the recent Harry Potter game announcement kind of blew up into this thing where some people don't want to support because of what the author of the book said
Yeah.
about trans people, and then people who are like, well, the developers and they need to be paid and blah blah. It's a lot of it's kind of a lot of it's messy essentially,
Yeah.
and which is how things are online anyways. You can't debate anything online.
No.
People take they get really emotional in a sense that, and some of it's justified because I can speak from like a black person, certain comments. And actually, this is a good segue into what we're getting ready to talk about. Certain comments that people make, even if they're coming from like a good place, you kind of look at them a little like you're not trusting because you are used to people starting that way and then immediately going left. Like there's certain things like, when someone's like, I'm not racist, but that but should this should not be there. Yeah, it's just it's a bad butt. It's not the good butt.
Yeah,
So,
that shouldn't be there.
exactly. And so like you prepare yourself, and in doing so, sometimes you automatically like lash out at the person like I don't want to hear it. And sometimes that can shut down conversation. And rightly so, in a sense that you want to protect yourself, your psyche, your mental right now, especially with everything that's going on in the world. And I get it from that standpoint, but at the same
Yeah.
time, people are going to want to talk because people, not everyone understands. And because they don't understand, they have questions. Unfortunately, if they don't have someone that they trust that they can talk to, like via text or a call or, Zoom or something like that, they'll do it publicly and they'll put their foot in their mouths and then it's a whole mess. You know what I'm saying? So, but that actually is a good segue with talking about topics that people might not understand when we talk about representation. and why representation is important. Now, this topic actually stemmed from, well, our real lives, but it also stemmed from a conversation that I saw on Twitch recently. Someone posted a video of a guy looking at the Miles Morales Spider-Man gameplay trailer that PlayStation went released not too long ago, and he was very emotional about what he was seeing. It represents what was on screen was representative of him, like where he came from, being Latinx and or Afro-Latinx, and living in New York, and just a lot of things that was normal to him was in a big budget video game. And he got he you know he was he had to pause the video because he started he started crying. He was like, I didn't think it was gonna be this emotional. And the person on Twitter was championing that. They were like, this is why representation matters, and it's great that we finally have Miles in his own game. He's not like DLC, he's not like a just an extra character, but no, he's the main protagonist. And this black guy comes on and he's like, you should just make your own game. You should just, stop worrying about what other people, your about representation in other media. Just make your own stuff if you want to, have people who look like you in video games and movies and stuff like that. And I felt the way because, I mean, I felt doubly like felt the way because one, he was black, and being that he was black, he should know better. But then
He should
also,
know better.
I don't like this notion that we need to make something in order for us to be equally represented, or us for us to be just treated properly. I mean, you think about it, like let's say you have a like you have a car and your car breaks down, you take it to the shop, and the guy is like, you know what, you should just build your own car. Just build your own car. And you're like,
That
well,
makes sense.
it's like, I can't do that. I don't have the know-how. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have a shop. Can you just, fix it for me? It's actually, it's not even that big of a deal. Like, you could just change the tire and, maybe check the spark plugs for me and stuff like that. That would be great. Making sure it's ready for, to go through inspection, blah, blah, blah. And granted, this is not a one-to-one, metaphor or simile or whatever the case may be, but it makes sense. A lot of times it's just a small thing, like adding a character or adding, giving us more than just an afro or, not a stereotypical name or stereotypical, caricature of us. A lot of times it's something small. And then this person wants to jump all the way out in the deep end and go make your own. And
Bet without you in
right,
it.
you see what I'm saying? Like, it's so like, not even just that, not even the fact that there's time and effort, and the fact that they're one of the big things that they that when people say that, they skip over reality, where they go, make your own. Okay, let me make my own game. For the and I told him this. I was like, I've spoken to more indie developers than you know, and I know that through speaking with them and AAA developers, so people from big studios, small studios, and everything in between. And the exact same thing comes out each time. Getting a game to ship, getting a game to market is nothing but is basically a miracle each time. Even those games that are huge, we have the Call of Duties that drop every year, the Maddens that drop every year, and all this other stuff. There's so many games that don't make it to to the light of day, that don't make it to market, that don't finish, that it's crazy. It's crazy that any of these games get done. So there's that. There's also these obstacles that are put in place in terms of black people getting these roles, getting hired to be developers, hired to be development leads, art leads, and all this other stuff, art directors or whatever. There's those type of roadblocks. But then there's also the monetary roadblocks, in the sense that if I'm gonna go indie, the risks that are involved with that, there's a lot. And I'm not saying that no one should ever make their own thing. As much as I don't like his movie, shout out to Tyler Perry because he's doing some awesome stuff with building his own studio and things of that nature. But not everyone can be a Tyler Perry. Not everyone can create their own whatever and then make it be mainstream. Because the point is not so much that we don't have our own stuff. The point is we don't get the same type of coverage. We don't get the same type of showing. We don't get the same type of respect in these circles. To have a, I don't think there is a, outside of maybe Spawn. I'm trying to think. I think maybe, I don't think Blade had it. Did Blade have a game? I don't know. Outside of certain games, Spawn and such, there hasn't been many games focused on a black superhero. And you know, I know there's Voodoo Man and stuff like that, but he's not, come on, fam. A black superhero that the kids can get behind, that is recognizable. You know, he was in a great animated film not too long ago. He's currently in the comic books. It's there's a reason why Miles is being celebrated. There's a reason why Miss Marvel, being the main focus in the Avengers game, is being celebrated, because we don't get that opportunity.
We
And
don't.
so I don't think you should skip over how people feel, how people are celebrating these things, to then go and say, just make your own. Like, shut up, bruh. Like, seriously.
Like if we could have just made our, I mean, like first of all, we're in the process of making our own with a lot of things because you know what? We've been, black people have been trying to get a seat at the table for so long, and they're like, you know what? We're just gonna make our own table. We're already doing that. We have people who are doing that, and it's not easy. And Tyler Perry will talk about how hard it was to get da da da. Or you have black creators out here who will sit there and say, it took this long. Like I didn't just go, you know what? I was 12 years old and realized, oh, I wanted to do this, and then I went to school. And then I did this, and then after school I did an internship, and then I met this person, and I met this person, and boom, and now at the age of 25, my dreams are starting to come true. It's not that simple, and it never has been. And if it was, we wouldn't be having these issues. If it was, there
Right.
wouldn't be this huge celebration every time one of us gets represented. So this person A needs to stop being ignorant. But at the same time, it's like, look, we're out here, we're doing our, we're trying. We are. We're out here and we're trying. There are people out here every day who are like, hey, you know what? It was a collective of us. It was a collective of people of color who got together and said, hey, we're not being represented. So we got together and we did this. And getting the funding was so hard.
Right.
Getting anything was so hard. I remember being a teenager and went to Ghana for, you know, like in the summer, like we used to do every so many years. And I just thought it would be so cool if there was a comic book that was based off of like some little Ghanaian kids. It's just some little West African kids because there was no representation like that. When I was a teenager in high school, I think it was by the time I, well, definitely by the time I was a senior, but maybe when I was a junior is when Boondocks came out.
Right.
And Boondocks was in the paper, and I was like, wow, yo, this is in the Washington Post. This is a comic about black people. And I was like, and this is awesome. And I loved it. And I was like, hey, when did we get this before? This never happened. And I'm like, this is awesome. And it's in the effing Post. It's cray cray. So me and my sister were talking about this, and we were like, hey, we should make a comic called the Chalewote. Like, it's Chalewote. It's like, chale, let's go. That's like, what then means let's go. And so the funny thing about the name Chalewote is that Chalewote is, it's a nickname for shoes, for flip-flops. So the reason why flip-flops are called Chalewote is because chale, let's go quickly. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Chale, let's go quickly. And the easiest way to go quickly is doing what? Put on your flip-flops, let's go. So that's how the
Nice.
nickname for flip-flops became Chalewote. At least that's what my parents told me. I don't know. I don't speak Ghana for real.
Right.
Could have been lying to me. You know, parents be lying. I've already said before on another cast, my parents can't be trusted.
Right.
So I don't know. I could be saying all kinds of nonsense right now.
That's
But
dope, though. I would have read that. Like,
we came up with this idea 20 years ago. 20 years ago. 20 years, 20 years and two, 20 years and a month. Sometime in 20 years and a month and a half. Sometime between July and August is when we were like, hey, we should do this. But I was like, what's it going to be about? We decided that it would be about three little kids who had superpowers, and it was their chalewote. So like they would lift up their flip-flops in the air, and like they could fly, and then they, you know, they could do like stuff, like, you know, they, but I was like, I never understood what the conflict, like we never ended up writing it. I was like, well, what's the major conflict? Like, okay, you know, they could be like cleaning stuff up, you know, like magic shoe. I don't know. I never really got like figured out where the main like humor and conflict would be to have a real story. But I just knew that I was like, hey man, I want this. I never did anything about it because, you know, I didn't really know people.
Right.
We all had ideas.
It's, I mean, because you think about it, well, one, these type of ideas come about because you want to see more of yourself.
Yes.
And I think that's which is why I feel like I just want to slap dude, because you know what that feels like.
Yeah.
And maybe you've gotten over that. Maybe you've gotten over how that feels. But to understand where like, what it means to see something that represents you, but shared in a space with everybody.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that we need approval of anybody else, but it's the idea that, you know, we're cool too. We have cool stories. We have cool characters. And we can sell. We can, you know, have big movies. We can have big experiences that are centered on around us as well. And we are proving that. We've been proving that as of late. Like, and where we don't have to be depicted in a certain way, we get to be depicted a little bit more naturally, and it sells. Like, we will support it, and so will other people, because the stories are interesting. But on the flip side, it's like, not everybody can do that. The average person, because, I mean, if you think about it, he wouldn't have said that to white people.
Right.
And granted, because, you know, white people are everywhere, but the average consumer doesn't do that. Like, it's a cop-out to say, just make your own, as if anybody and everybody can do that. And as if everybody needs to do that. Having a black development company, dope. Like, I salute you. But to have some type of weird, like, prerequisite that we do that before we start being acknowledged in these things. Like, we spend money, too. Like, I just, like I said, I just pre-ordered an Xbox Series X. Like, I spend money as well. So why can't I be, can I not be catered to as well as everybody else?
Exactly.
So that's, you know, that's one side. There's also the people who are, you know, our white counterparts who don't understand, because they've always seen themselves in positive settings. One of the big things, you say what you want to say about the Black Panther film, but one of the coolest things going to that film was that I was like, this is how other people feel.
Yep.
Like, I like, there's has been good, like, big movies with us in it, but Black Panther was different in a sense of the budget. Like, $200 million is not something we get on a regular to make a film. Also, you know, black casting, black writers, black costume designers, super dope. But then also the fact that he didn't start and struggle. A lot of our big films start with us in some type of pain. Like, I don't know if this is, like, how white people kind of, like, how they feel better about certain things. Like, let me show you slavery and, like, the gruesome things that happened there. And then there's a happy ending so we can feel good about the status of today. And that's not reality. Like, there's still people in bondage now. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be The Wire. And granted, I love The Wire. It doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be gang violence. It doesn't have to be the stereotypical whatever, or just our pain on screen. It was dope to have a character that started off on the same footing as Tony Stark. Like, he started off rich. He started off, you know, in good standing with everyone. He started off, even though there was conflict was coming, but he didn't start off with our pain. So it was like, this is our Superman moment. This is our Batman moment. This is our moment to be represented in a cool way, but still be uniquely us.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, other people, you know, Captain America, whatever, they're uniquely you. And that feeling that you got, you know, maybe you never got that feeling because you always saw them. But imagine if you never had that. If you never had a Captain America, you never had a Superman, and 2020, you finally got Superman.
Yeah.
Like, how would you feel? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I took a second to think, you know, the pause or whatever, but like, how would you feel? You would feel pretty great. Like, dude, it's one thing to imagine myself as like Captain America. It's another thing to imagine myself as Black Panther, to see myself. That's
Yeah.
a different thing. And I don't know if I can explain it any better than that. Just plainly, like, it's really cool to be the hero. It's really cool to be shown in a positive light.
Yeah, it's amazing to have that to look and see yourself on screen because we're so used to not seeing it. We're so used to not. So it's extremely important. And I understood why he was getting so emotional because I definitely have felt that way too when I felt represented on TV. Like if I saw Africans on TV doing something, it always struck a chord with me because I'm like, oh, word, that's my people doing it big.
Right.
And it got, you know, always, there was always a special place in my heart when I will see something. Like if I see somebody in the street and I know they're African and I just look at them and I'm like, hey, because it's one thing for me to be a Black American and to look on TV and feel represented. It's another thing for that other side of me across the globe, you know, across an ocean. And I'm here in America and I'm seeing something on TV where I feel represented. I'm like, wait, what? Like, if I see an activist out here who I know is West African, and I'm like, oh, snap, word? Like,
Because it's this thing of like normalcy, in the sense that, for instance, I was talking to my wife earlier today, and she made a point about how, you know, going to a place and there's only like one other black person, and you see that black person and you don't know them, but there's some type of camaraderie there. Like, I can go sit by this person, like, we share something there. And then she was liking that to being an American, like, you know, African American traveling back to Ghana and being around a bunch of people, and the people, they like, you don't, you fit in, but you don't, in a sense where you're Americanized, but that feeling of searching the faces, searching out to see someone that looks like me, it's gone. Everybody looks like me. And so I feel normal. I feel like I'm allowed to feel normal. I'm allowed to be normal. The default isn't white. And in reality, it's even though the majority and soon to be minority, that's not the default. It's not. And so to be represented, to be able to be seen, and that's what I mean by big stage, because we've had plenty of films and comics and everything that show us in a positive light, to show us, you know, doing things that are natural, that comes natural to us, but it's always like, oh, that's just Black Panther, or that's just, you know, Luke Cage. That's not really, he's not really a part of the Avengers. You know, he's not real. He's a B-level hero. He's blah, blah, blah. But then fast forward to now, and he has a hit show on Netflix. There's a difference. Like, oh, now the world is like, oh, Luke Cage is something. You know, the War Machine is something. Granted, they criminally used Don Cheadle, but that's another story. He's underused. He's super underused in that in the Avengers. But yeah, like, it's like, dope. Like, okay, now everybody gets to see, and we get to be part of, you know, and not in the sense of like assimilation or anything, but the idea that we're a big deal as well, and that's pretty freaking cool. That's really cool. You know, I look
It
at my oldest daughter was drawing a lot of the princesses, the Disney princesses or whatever, and she drew them all like brown skin. And she was like, you know, I was like, so why did you do that? And she was like, well, they, you know, they look like me. Like, I would like for them, some of them, to look like me. And it's like, they understand. Like I don't see much of me here. It would be nice. And that's why, you know, my youngest daughter, she's 5. She's like, my favorite princess is Princess Jasmine. That she looks the closest like her. It's just a small thing, you know. It's not to say that she recognizes anything about the story that might, you know, be reflective, but the idea that like, hey, she looks like me, So when I pretend or dress up, she looks like me. Like I don't know. It's
No.
I feel like I'm trying to explain something complicated simply,
I got
and
that.
it's simply just, you know, like it's just that.
I got that though. I think it is such a simple thing, and it's just so, just like we were saying earlier, it's just so simple. Like we're seeing ourselves, and it makes us happy and excited because we're not used to seeing ourselves. So when somebody diminishes that, it's kind of like, dude, get that, get out. Like
Right.
you don't know what it's like. It's, I mean, and everybody deserves some sort of representation. That's why you have like the girls who are bigger. It's like, oh wait, what? They got big girls on this too? You know? It's
Right.
like, oh my God, I feel represented. You walk into a store, you want to know what I felt represented on the other day? This is kind of
What?
funny. I was looking at, I think, Banana Republic or something. I was online and I was trying to get do some shopping for some pants because I can't fit anything anymore. And
I feel
there's
you.
a black girl who's a model on their page, and it wasn't like a model model. You know how they have the tall, skinny, okay, we all know that you're a size 2, and we all know that
Right.
you're minimum 5'10". And that's how they model half their clothes. But now they have different size people in their like if you pick something, if you see something, okay, you know. The skinny girl is wearing the crop pants or something. You pick that picture, you're like, oh, I like these pants. Now they have multiple pictures under that first picture of different sizes of that item. So if the regular modeling is wearing a size 2, more than likely, you can tell that she's super skinny or whatever. A couple pictures below, they'll have a girl who's wearing a size 14 or a size 12. And so you can kind of get this idea of how it fits somebody who's larger. And I'm
Right.
like, so I always like took to that when I started seeing that on websites, I was like, finally, you know, finally, because how am I supposed to be a certain size and then and it what it's supposed to fit like it fits her? Heck no. But what I got excited was just that I think it was yesterday or the day before, I noticed that there was this black girl who was wearing one of the pants that I typically like to buy. They're like these stretch crop pants. And I said, whoa, 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 wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Where's this girl from? This girl, because as soon as you didn't even need to see her skin color, you already knew she was black from her shape. You already knew. You saw the picture and you were like, okay, I know these pants are gonna fit me because that girl got ass. Okay. Like, as soon as I saw the picture and I saw this girl, I didn't even need to see her arms. I mean, it's a picture of pants, so I didn't even need to see her arms. And when I saw her, I clearly ended up seeing her arms, and they were of a darker hue. But you could tell, you knew right then that this girl was black when you saw the way those pants fit her. And I was like, I have never felt so represented in one picture out of the 500,000 items that are on that damn website. One black girl wearing a pair of pants, and I was like, I want to buy these pants just because this black girl's modeling them.
It's
That's it.
always the yams. That's
Yep, that's it. Yep.
that's dope though. Like
Yo, and I'm like, it should always be though. It should always be like this. It's not that hard. And I'm not saying all black girls are shaped the same, but damn. I knew she was black from the picture. I didn't even need to see the skin color on her arms. I already knew. So that's what they need to do. They need to be going and finding a bunch of girls. Okay, you here. I need a bunch of girls who are shaped like this and a bunch of girls who are shaped like this and a bunch of girls who are shaped like this and just put them on there and be like, yeah, that's me. So I know these pants are going to fit.
I mean, hey, if you want to be selfish about it, it makes you money. It totally makes you money to kind of cater. And which is also, it kind of brings me to the people who are like, you know, they're just pandering. I'm like, you know what? If the imagery, the characters, the story isn't offensive, then you can pander. I'm not upset. Because obviously you're like, you know what? At the very least, even if you're not like, you know what, we need to be diverse because we would like to give a voice to those who are voiceless. All right, cool. If you're like, you know what, we have a black market that we're just not tapping into. How about we develop a dope black character and hire a black writer to make sure it's appropriate, and then you send it out? Yeah, that I'm fine with that.
I'm okay with that.
That's not a problem at all. If it's respectful content,
Yeah.
go
And
ahead.
due diligence. I mean, for crying out loud, the whole process you just mentioned was due diligence. It means they did the job.
Exactly.
You at that point, it's not really it's just at that point, it's actually recognizing that there's black dollars to be had. And so outreach. That's just
Yeah.
doing business.
It makes
I
sense.
mean, yeah, we're not getting recognized in so many things, like just in the smallest things. Like, look, how many black people decided that they were going to start shopping? Black women and black men who are like, you know what? We're not going to buy these products anymore. We're going to go buy Miss Jessie's products, which are made by, two black sisters. Unfortunately, one of them passed away a while ago. Or we're going to buy these types of products. We're going to buy these products that are made from for black people, from made by black people for black people, because knowing that our skin texture or color, is different, our hair texture is different. All these things that go specifically to people who are black. And it's like, you know what? Swab and Pantene were like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, we might want to up our marketing and change our bottles to a golden or copper color, and then maybe add some aloe and shea to our product. Yo, come on now. Like, so it
Yeah.
took you this long to, but you didn't do your full market research. You were just like, I think they like this and let's do it. But the point is that dollars run everything. Like, dollars speak volumes. Kodak had to do that decades ago when Kodak realized that their film actually picked up color for black people. Like, black people weren't able to be photographed well before, and then because like Kodak figured out something because they were trying to photograph wood, and then they realized they're like, wow, if we can photograph wood well, then we can photograph black people well. And they're like, hey, let's market to black people so they'll buy our cameras and film and stuff.
Right.
That was just business.
It makes sense. It's and that's what I'm saying, like it's just little things, you know. You're like, you know what? This is something that, you know, there's a market that people aren't looking into. Like, for instance, I was looking at the game coming from Thunderful, the game The Gunk, and it has it's basically Steam World or like steampunk, and the main character is a black woman, and it's a bright, colorful action puzzle game that's coming to the next gen consoles. And just seeing her character, she looks kind of like a, I don't want to say grungy, but like yeah, I guess kind of grungy Mega Man, in the sense that she's not fully like armored or anything, but she has an arm that can like suck up like goo or gunk or whatever, and like use it to like attack creatures and whatnot, and solve puzzles. And it looked really cool. But for me and my friends who were watching, we're like, yo, you can play as a there's a black woman character. Like that's the main character for this game. Like we
That's
put it down
dope.
on our list. Like we're this is the game we're getting. We're getting it. And people might not understand that. Like, you know, well, you know, that's all you saw. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Like I'm still
Yeah.
gonna do my due diligence in a certain in a sense of like looking into the game, seeing if it's appropriate. But if it is
Yeah.
appropriate, at least, you know, in that sense, then I can, you know, get it for my daughters. You know, I can play it if it's not, you know, 100% appropriate for them or whatever. But the idea is like, I want that. I think that's cool, and I'm gonna support it just like I'm gonna support Miles Spider-Man. And it just
Yep.
so happens that that game looks awesome and it's probably going to be awesome, but it's an extra
Yep.
plus that it's tailored towards, or you know, it's for us in a sense. And it's not to say that other people can't play it, but it's like we are in the you know, the driver's seat, if you will.
Yep.
And
We're the main
so
character.
that's money. That's money. Like a ton of people want this.
Yep.
Give it to them. Like it's not gonna hurt. No, it's not gonna hurt anybody. Like, and so the you know, the people getting upset and they're like, ah, oh, you know, it's a why a woman and why blah blah. It's like, fam, like there's like 1,000 games with, strong straight white dude. It's even you gotta be bored. And
Seriously, that's why I'm like, how can you, don't you want something different? How can this is just your thing. This is why Sarah Silverman had that segment of her show, I Love You America, called
Yeah.
White Man at a Desk. Like every time the topics that she's talking about were cringeworthy or like making people uncomfortable, she would be like, and now let's go to the white man at a desk, at the desk, because that's what America's used to. America's used to its Peter Jennings. You know,
Right.
America used to that. And so is this making you uncomfortable? Because we can go back to Hunger Games. Remember how there all that crazy stuff went off about Hunger Games when they were like, wait a
Yeah.
minute, Rue's black? Like,
Yeah.
so, and so this is something that I want to mention because obviously we're both black. So when we're reading a book, you know, we're reading something, we don't have the visual in front of us, we're reading. So you have to make the visual in your head and you get a description. When you read a description, you can kind of assume what that person looks like. Like, I guess when I read something that says that somebody has, or I'm sorry, this is somebody's from the South, place where they, South farming land or whatever land, and has dark skin and curly black hair and whatever, and dark brown eye, you know, like those descriptions make me think of a little black girl. I never for one moment thought that Rue wasn't black. Never. And I never for one moment thought that Gail was not white. I never for one moment thought that Prim wasn't white. You know, I never for one moment thought, like, honestly, the interesting description of Katniss Everdeen was, it was just an interesting description. It said she had jet black hair and like, I don't know, grayish colored eyes and olive skin. Honestly, when I read that description, I was like, I thought maybe she was Native American, maybe, or maybe she was, it just, who knows? It's not very clear, but I thought that Rue's description was spot on. I just assumed that she was black. So here this movie comes, and then you had all these people who were like, Rue's black? What?
Yeah, that was special.
Happen? And it doesn't, it's not even like, oh, how does that happen? Because I understand it. When if you are not of a certain color and then somebody doesn't explain to you, you may just assume because you assume what you see in the mirror. You know, we kind of gravitate to what we understand and what we know. And so if you just didn't assume that somebody was of a different race or color or it didn't matter to you, then that's fine. But then all of a sudden it seemed to matter when, because Rue's character was so important in that book and in that movie, she was so important and so loved. So when a bunch of people, a bunch of racists found out that their beloved character was black, all of a sudden they were just like, nah, that's trash. She's trash. We hate this.
But that's like in the book, it talks about how she has like dark brown skin and eyes,
Yes, and eyes and curly hair.
like what were you? I don't, yeah. And like I remember the the author like holding up that part, that passage or whatever, and was like, what? Like, why is everybody upset that
Yeah.
she's black? Like, yeah, it's goofy. It's goofy. I don't understand.
Some people just assume because this is their comfort and this is what they know and this is like so normal to them that this is just it. I'm honestly, I'm going to say something that happened to me today because somebody came into my job. I had spoken to the person on the phone the day before, and this individual came into my job today. And as I was talking to the person, this person said to me, you know how, this is what this person said. You know how black girls and white girls kind of like sound different? Like, I just felt like you were tricking me the whole time when you were on the phone. this person basically
Wow.
did not know if I was black or white when they were talking to me on the phone, and then they ended up meeting me and realized that I was black and was completely shocked. Why was that so important for this person to say that to me today?
Yeah, that's
Did that matter at all? Did it have anything to do with anything? Because it didn't. And I don't need to know your innermost feelings. You could have said all kinds of crazy stuff about me under your breath. You could have thought so many. I do not care what you thought of me. You could have thought the worst horrible things about me, and I would not have cared because I would not have known.
But it's
why was it so important to voice?
It was goofy. Okay. And yeah, how do you, the fact that you feel comfortable, like people are real comfortable with this foolishness. And real talk, you could get hurt doing this, so you should probably not. But
no.
The idea that that popped in your head, that what, because she was articulate, that she could speak to you in a way that you understood, you know, what was going on, what you needed to do, or whatever the case may be, that, you know, she didn't, whatever stereotypical thing you thought was supposed to happen, she didn't happen. Like, that is, and you know what? If we had better representation, maybe you wouldn't have had these thoughts.
Exactly.
I don't know. I don't know. I also think you're a little racist, but, you know, that's me.
Yeah.
Because I don't, I can understand us in like, if someone, I'm not going to lie, there's been times where older music, maybe someone had a voice that was, you know, reminiscent of someone else that I've heard. You know, if I hear, like, maybe a white singer sounding like Barry White, I'm not going to be like, oh, that's, you know, that's a white guy. But there has been times where I've heard, like, classic, you know, music, or our music, let's say, like, the blues or whatever, and it's sung, you know, by a white person, and I'm like, oh, he's white. But in that sense, it's not, it's never a, like, how dare you, or why you sound like us, or et cetera. It's like, oh, dude is down too. That it was like more of an acceptance type of thing, as opposed to like some strange, you know, you're bewildered because someone can speak like you can or sound like you. It's like, you don't have a monopoly on you know, being able to articulate your points. You don't have a monopoly on sounding educated. You don't have that.
It's just foolish. It's foolish. I mean, people say some real foolish things, and it all goes back down to representation. I know we spoke before, and I may have mentioned it on cast before, but how, like, look, Trevor Noah taking over the Daily Show is huge for me. It's huge for a lot of people. And, you know, back in like 2015 or 2016, I was having this conversation with somebody who was he ended up being my manager at my job. He said this to me after he became a manager. So I think this happened in 2016, but I was talking about how much I love the Daily Show and like how much I loved Trevor Noah on that show. It was just so good. And he was coming into his own. My other coworker, she was right on board with me. She's like, oh my God, I love him. He's hilarious. He's so cute. Da, 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 da. And my coworker who said this is a white woman, and she's like, I love him. Now, we all love Jon Stewart. Everybody loved Jon Stewart. He's amazing, hilarious. And the Daily Show was his baby. It was great. Jon Stewart is just amazing. And Trevor Noah, it took him a little while to kind of like get that groove, but once he got it, it was hilarious. And so we're all sitting down at the table. I have a pretty, you know, diverse lunch group. I mean, not diverse lunch group, but kind of like a semi-diverse office, whatever.
Right.
Anywho, but we're all sitting down at lunch inside the office, and we're talking about it. And I just mentioned how much I love him and like what he brings to the Daily Show and how I felt represented. Like I said, I love him. I support him. I think he's hilarious because this guy makes African jokes. And I'm like, and I understand them. I get them. He's speaking directly to me. So love it. I think it's hilarious. Finally having somebody on TV who is African and who makes these African jokes, because we're not getting that. We're not getting that. There's no prime timer right now that's African besides him that's getting these jokes in. And it resonated with me. And so I shared that. I was like, I love it. I think he does a great job. And these African jokes kill me. And then my stupid, idiotic, thought he was down manager has the nerve to tell me that that's not a good reason for him to be the host. And just because he makes African jokes doesn't mean that he's a good enough host for The Daily Show. And I was like, excuse you? Like, are you kidding me? You had the nerve to say that? And first of all, I didn't say that there was a blanket, oh, like he's the best Daily Show host. I said, I like him.
Right.
To me, he is funny. To me, he's great. I love these African jokes. They resonate with me. I love this. This is hilarious to me. And he's telling me that's not a good reason for him to be the host of The Daily Show. That's not a good reason to say that he's good at this. Well, you know what? It's
apparently
been 5 years long and he's still there, so.
Like, yeah, like, apparently. I mean, you know, like, because we think about it, he has, the reason why Jon Stewart was cool with him taking over the show was because they share similar, you know, ideals.
Mm-hmm.
He basically is doing what Jon Stewart was doing, just his own way.
Yeah.
But then there's the fact that, yeah, apparently these jokes are working. The things that he's saying is working, because not mm-hmm. only is he resonating with people who have African backgrounds, he's resonating with Black people. Oh,
mm-hmm.
that's a huge part of your audience. And
mm-hmm.
he's resonating with white people based
mm-hmm.
on, you know, what your coworker was saying and the audience and how people just resonate to him because he's relatable. And the way that he speaks, the way that he describes, the way he tells stories, he's able to give you a story or take something from the news, I'll say, and then break it down in a way that you understand. So,
mm-hmm.
like, there's been multiple times where he would talk about something race-related, and someone'll do these things where they'll record him talking to the audience when they're at a, you know,
yes.
commercial or something like that. And so they'll ask a question about something race-related or whatever, like, how does he feel about Trump or et cetera, et cetera. And he'll break it down to the point where this white person who might have not understood before the question and might have felt a way about the way we are wording certain things or, you know, Black Lives Matter, whatever the case may be, he breaks it down and then they're like, oh, you know, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
And then this person's like, all right, cool. And like, he does that. And so he does that on a wide scale because he'll have videos, he'll have shorts where he just does that. And
yep.
people are like, you know what? I like the way he, I like the way he explains things. I like his mind. And so, sure, you can think for yourself that his, you know, there's some cool qualities that he have that doesn't necessarily mean he should be the host of something, but apparently it's resonating with people. Apparently it's help pushing and making the show popular. It's you know, the fact that he has his YouTube show is still going, even though we're in this pandemic. It's like, apparently it's working.
Yeah.
Because anybody can say the same thing about Jon Stewart. Like, oh, his jokes, you know, his satire isn't funny. So he shouldn't be the host. Like, how does that – what? Like, even
yeah.
if you don't like the show, it didn't mean that someone shouldn't be there or the show shouldn't be on TV. Like, that's a – that the idea of should.
Mm-hmm.
As if there's some type of thing that he has to do in order to make your approval to be
yeah.
allowed to be a host somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a goofy way of thinking. Like, there is no should. You can like him or not. There is
mm-hmm.
no should.
Thank you.
Like, I don't understand these. And again, it goes back to the default. Like, your default, whether you liked how Jon Stewart told jokes versus, you know, the current host, your default is that he's white.
Yeah.
Because what happens is, or at least what I've noticed, is that people will come up with any reason for someone else not to get the job. It's the same thing with when people will say, you know, only the, you know, just hire the best person. Just hire the best person.
Mm-hmm.
But then what it shows me is that you don't know reality, or either you're ignoring it. The reality is the best people aren't given a chance.
Yeah.
We just recycle the same white people. Like, there are a lot of people who are good who never get the chance because of the obstacles, the man-made obstacles that are put in their way.
Yeah.
Because if it was perfect, if we lived in a perfect world, then yes, the best man win. And not even the best man or woman, but the idea that, like, the best person for this particular job. I have a movie about a 70-year-old Black man. I need to hire Morgan Freeman. Like, he would be
yeah.
the best. He might not be the best actor, but he's the best for this particular role. I just envision him. Cool. That's to say that there's no obstacles for him. There's
Yeah.
no people putting up barriers. There's no people saying, well, he shouldn't be this particular character because the way he pronounces whatever, I mean, he's just not qualified enough. Like, he's a great actor and all. He's won awards. I get that. But can he blah, blah, blah? Like, no, fam. Like, what you're saying is you just want white people. The best for the job happened to be white to you. We're not given the same. Because even then, the same people who say the best people for the job, as soon as a black person gets that job, as soon as an Asian person gets that job, they say, you're pandering. You know how many people flipped out? There was an article interviewing, and his name just fell out of my head. Crap. Interviewing, he was in Star Wars. He's one of the main characters in Star Wars.
John Boyega? Not John Boyega?
Yeah, I believe so. I'm trying to think.
Yepin?
I think he did a our interview recently, and he was a stormtrooper, in the first or the newer ones, up to nine, and he was one of the main characters, and they were like, he was telling people how Disney didn't know how to basically use the black characters. The Asian characters, they didn't know what to do with us. But before that though, he talks about how they were the only characters to receive hate before they even started filming, or not filming, but before all it was a trailer. They showed one trailer, they showed him as a stormtrooper, and people lost their minds. Stormtroopers can't be black, blah blah blah. And from a narrative standpoint, I understand the shock, because I was shocked when I saw him too,
And we all were.
because stormtroopers are clones. We get it. However, being that this takes place, it's sometime in the future, I'm like, oh, is he a new type of clone? Maybe he's disguised as a stormtrooper. Like, that was my thinking. Like, what is he doing? Versus he shouldn't be there. And he received so much hate for that role before they ever saw him in the film. And they didn't know what to do. And so he was like, they kind of pivoted. Like, he had a more central role and they kind of pushed him aside for the white characters because they were like, you know what? We can kind of, the fans will calm down if we make sure that these characters are blah, 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 blah. And that kind of sucked. Like, people would ask him, like, was it a great experience? And he was like, no, it wasn't. And I'm not gonna lie, because I'm afraid of burning bridges and all this other stuff. But like, he's like, no, I'm reserving the idea that this was great when the great experience happens. This was not a great experience for me. They didn't know how to support us. They didn't know how to, write for us. We were just kind of tossed aside for other characters. And so much of that hate and whatever was there. Now, nobody was like, dude, you hired the right person. You see what I'm saying? So like, it's damn if you do, damn if you don't. If he was hired, they felt that he was the right person for the job. He got the job after auditioning, and then you go, he shouldn't be there. But then on the flip side, when we're like, yay, more representation, you go, well, they should have hired the right person. Like, it shouldn't be about race. It should be about, which one is it, fam? What you're really saying is your default is white, and you have a problem if it's not a white person in the lead role, or who's the main character on the box, or who's selling whatever the case may be. We can be sidekicks. We can be the black dude with the chocobo in his fro. We can be the loud, boisterous side dude like Barrett, in the most recent Final Fantasy remake. We can be that for you. We can sh you know shuck and jive. But if we're the main person, a lot of you have a problem with that. And honestly, I just wish you would just be honest.
Just say it up front so we can be like, okay, well, this isn't for you. Like, say,
Right.
identify yourself so we know who you are. Like, because no. Jesse Williams mentioned that. He said he talked about that. Just like, oh, you'll hire me if I do this for you. Oh, world. This world we live in. It's so much easier when when we're just all represented, you know, then we don't make stupid mistakes like putting a kid on your website with a monkey shirt.
Fam. And then those the I don't want to shout their name out, but the clothing designer that had the like the blackface lips, like the red bright lips or whatever.
Oh, I'll call them out. That was Gucci.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, I didn't want to give them any like any play, but yeah, like Gucci was like, oh, God, it was. I think it was worn across the face. Like
It
it was so
was
bad.
on
And it was like at one point I was like, you know what? I think they're doing this on purpose because what'll happen is it'll be outrage. People will lose their minds, and then they'll. Like Gucci is being spoken about, they'll issue an apology and then be like, you know, we're
rock
gonna donate the chair. And then before you know
too.
it, people are like, oh, Gucci's not so bad. They fixed it and blah, blah, and we're talking about
Yeah.
it and, you know, all this other stuff. And it's like,
And that's
that
exactly what happened.
it has to be that because it you
Yeah.
can't, like, it kept happening over and over and over with just bad optics. And yeah, no one, you just keep doing it. Like, fam, I mean, granted, it's like it doesn't care because no one's gonna. Honestly, a lot of people who were frustrated were people who never bought Gucci. I didn't. I'm
Yeah.
never gonna buy Gucci, even if I have the money for it.
Right.
So, you know, unfortunately.
I mean, I think I kind of feel like I treat Gucci like Chick-fil-A. Like I can't buy it, but if somebody buys it for me, then I can have it. Because I've had people buy me Chick-fil-A multiple times. I don't support Chick-fil-A. I don't go there. I don't buy the anything. I don't spend my money there. But I can't refuse it if someone brings it to me, because that would be dumb.
I don't
So if
know.
somebody brings me Gucci sunglasses, I'm not gonna refuse them.
Say your birthday's coming up.
I mean, I'm just saying, my birthday was last month. If somebody has some leftover Gucci sunglasses that I don't have to pay for, I would gladly take them off your hands. But yeah, so that's the point. Like, yeah,
Yeah,
you know.
these people are interesting, man. And I, you know, I don't necessarily begrudge anyone for whoever you support, whatever. I mean, if we trace the dollars back from everybody, at the very least you could say like, okay, I know where your money's going. But if we really trace dollars, especially with these corporations, anybody who's like down with capitalism, yeah, if you spend with anybody, you're gonna feel a way eventually. So I don't look at people sideways when they're like, you know, I go here, I go there. I get it, but I
Yeah.
don't because for several reasons, you know, and that's another podcast. But the idea at the end of the day is like you are. There's so many things you don't have to do. You can not be offensive. You can be more inclusive. You can hire more black people. You can hire more Hispanic or Latinx people, Asian people. You can do a lot of these things, and they don't take. They're not that hard. This
Yeah.
weird notion. I forgot who said it. Where they were like, there just wasn't enough black people in the sector to hire. I'm like, get, bro, stop. There's
You don't
way more
know.
people doing what you're doing than you know. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Like, we see it. A lot of them are moving and shaking in other places. You know, we look at Jordan Peele and how his hiring processes. We've seen what happened with Black Panther. We've seen this. There's a lot of us, and we do good work.
Yeah.
So it's not that hard. It's really not to just be. It's really what it comes down to is being purposeful about what it is you're doing, and is
Yeah.
and you know, don't listen to Terry Crews. We're not saying we want a handout, and we're not saying that we want to be better than white people. We're just saying a fair shake, and we won't get that until you guys deal with your biases.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. With
I'm
that
with you.
said,
With that said,
yes. Thank you for listening. We've run up to our about hour and some change now, so we kind of went ahead and close. But yeah, like we said, thank you for listening. Thank you for checking us out. Hit that subscribe, that notification bell. Share it to your friends. We want to get more people talking, more people watching, and discussing and having a good time, essentially. Talking about nerd stuff. Whether it be representation in video games, movies, and anime, and all that good stuff, or Just like really cool things that you've noticed throughout the week or throughout, you
Thank
know, there's a
you.
lot of things coming up on Netflix and HBO and different shows and whatnot that we could be talking about. So if you want us to mention any of these things or talk about these things, let us know in the
Yes.
comments, or on
Comment
Twitter.
below.
Yeah, Twitter, IG, you know, wherever you're following me, you should be following me if you're not. So we can talk and we can bring up, you know, bring it up at a future episode.
Yeah.
And if you disagree, let us know in a respectful manner. My block foo is strong, so just letting you know. You know, if you if you're being a jerk or whatever, and you'll just get blocked or muted, and you will just scream in the wind, and I won't care.
Yep.
So yeah, so just be mindful of that, and especially. Don't forget that I use words for a living. So the fake, you know, wokeness, the fake kindness, the fake, you know, where you're being you're trying to have a debate, but you're not really trying to have a debate. I'm up on that. So you will get blocked as well. Like I'm not, I know how to use words, fam. You know, I can articulate, you know, I'm not white, but I can do that. But yeah, definitely follow, subscribe, and share. And again, let us know what you want us to talk about. If you want us to talk about more anime, I know there's some cool stuff coming soon. Yakuza is getting another film for the Yakuza video game series. They had a live action film a while ago. I haven't seen it. I need to go check it out. But there's a new one that's going to be live action that's being I don't want they just announced this. I don't know how far they've gotten with it yet. But if you played Yakuza, you know that the story is basically an anime. It's they everything is played seriously, but it's bonkers. From people punching grizzly bears in the face to all sorts of stuff with the Yakuza. It's bananas. So yeah, if it's gonna be like that, I totally want to see it. But that's something that we could talk about, you know, video game stuff, comic books. I've been reading a lot of, I have the Marvel Unlimited app. So even though I'm a few months behind, I'm reading just about everything from Miles, Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel, the Avengers. I could talk about a lot of stuff, is what I'm saying. So let us let us know. Let us know in the comments. Yeah.
Comment below, and like we say every week, be kind, don't be a dick, wash your hands and your butts.
And your butts.
It's extremely important that you do that,
Yes.
and wear your mask, social distance, take care of yourselves and your neighbors. And if you know any old people who are by themselves and stuff, be kind and drop them like a bag of food or something at their doorstep. And masks. The
Just
whole point is we are in this together.
yes.
We are together even though we're apart. So take our advice, do all the things we said, and have a wonderful week. We will see you hopefully next week. Talk then. Until then, stay clean and germ free. Bye.